Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker.
You know, I get to preach. I've preached a lot of places in Canada and the U.S. But when I get to do my testimony and declare what God's done for me, man, that song messed me up. I'm just trying to get it together here, but because I know that it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. First time I heard that song, Dad called me. He's like, Dorman, you got to listen to this song. So I listened to it, and it was pretty good. And then the next morning, I'm like, I got to listen to that again. And I listened to it. I think it's on steady repeat on my phone now in the truck, and I just over and over. But the next morning, I'm listening to it, and the presence of God coming in the truck so strong, I just started to weep and weep. I had to pull over. I pulled into this rest area, and I got myself back on the bed, and I'm laying there, and the presence of God coming in the truck so strong. I think I was there for 2 or 3 hours just listening to this song over and over and just shaking under the presence of God. And finally, I said, I couldn't even breathe anymore. I said, God, you got to lift this. You're going to kill me. I couldn't breathe. And I called Pastor Rod. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And he's like, I don't know, but can you pray for me? And you know, it's been so amazing that the journey and especially when it gets to that part where you speak Jesus for my family. And, you know, my son's watching a Newfoundland this morning, and I think my daughter is, and I've got one of my daughters here and her boyfriend. My other son's back there somewhere and hiding. And, but, you know, it's so awesome to have, you know, my family, you can hide anything from anybody else, but the people you live with know who you really are, you know. And I can't stand here and claim to be perfect, that I've been perfect the whole time, because all you got to do is talk to one of my kids and they'll tell you the truth. Like I said a couple weeks ago, my dad always told us, if you're not the godliest person that your kids know, you've got work to do. So I've got a lot of work to do because they know my dad. And my parents are here this morning, my brother and my sister-in-law and their kids. And, you know, it's awesome to have family around and serve God together as family. You know, so I was raised in a Christian home, as most of you know. And I served the Lord I went to a youth group and different things. And then I never really experimented with too much of anything. I drank a little bit in high school, but nothing serious. And then I decided I was going to become a truck driver. So my first job hauling produce, I walked in the office, and I think it was the first trip or the second trip, the dispatcher walked out, and he said, here's your bills and here's your pills, don't be late. And I started running New York City and Philadelphia and the Eastern Seaboard and home produce, and so they were just we called them border beans. They're actually made out of arsenic, rat poison. It would speed up your heart. You couldn't sleep. It was a real healthy way to go down the road. So we done that for years and years and years. And so I was doing that, and I was working. Me and my ex-wife, we. You know, after a while, we moved to Newfoundland, and while we were there, we separated, and I came back to Ontario, and I kept hauling produce. So then after that, I got back, and I started getting into heavier drugs. I'll never forget the first time we pulled, me and another guy pulled through the toll booth in New York State, and he said, come on up here for a minute. And I went up, and we got in this truck, and he said, you want to try it? And I looked, and he had some crystal meth out on a mirror. And I said, oh, what the heck, why not? And I tried it. We were driving across New York. I was on my way to Boston. And I actually said to myself, I can never live without this again, just after one time. So I was separated from my first wife, and I was running back and forth and doing all kinds of stuff and pretty much just working to support the habit. Just talking to the kids, and the kids are, DJ, I think, was only probably around two, and Julia wasn't even a year yet. And And I was in Florida, and I called DJ, and I told him I was supposed to go to Newfoundland to visit, and I called the kids, and I said, Daddy can't come, you know, because I didn't have the money. I didn't tell him, obviously, I was spending it all on drugs, but I said, and he started crying on the phone, and started saying, I don't have a daddy. So I'm driving north on I-75, and I mean, it's just tearing me up, and I got onto top of Jellicoe Mountain, and I said, well, this is it tonight. I called my parents and told them I'm done. I'm checking out. I'm either going to run my truck off the mountain or I'm going to do enough drugs to make my heart explode, whatever I got to do, I'm checking out. I hung up my phone and I shut off the phone. And all of a sudden, this voice broke through. And, you know, I've heard God's voice in my spirit before, but all of a sudden, I could hear it in my ears. And he said, Darman, you're not dying on this mountain tonight. I sobered up just like that, and I went to bed, and the next morning I called Dad, and they'd been praying and stuff, and Dad said, well, he said, if you want to go to Newfoundland, Pastor Bill Hillier's on his way from Whitehorse to Newfoundland. And that's the last place you want to be, is a strung out drug addict riding in a car with Pastor Bill for 3 days when he just left Whitehorse. And, so I said, all right, so I went, and we get to Newfoundland, and it was hell for 3 days, I'm telling you. Because I like worship music, but he didn't listen to good worship music. He listened to, like Maranatha choir stuff. It's like, oh, my God. I couldn't get high enough. I mean, it was. So we get to Newfoundland, and we pull in the driveway, and we're, you know, my ex-wife's house, and the kids are in the driveway, and my little girl, who shouldn't have even known me because she was so young when I left, she met me on the lawn, and she looked at me, she said, Daddy? And I looked back, and Pastor Bill's throwing my bags out on the lawn. He's like, see you later, and he was gone. And so me and my ex got back together for a while, and I was actually supposed to go to New York City for one last trip. And Dad says, I don't feel good about you going. He said, I think you should just go to Newfoundland. I said, well, Dad, I need to, you know, make some money. He said, how much would you make? I told him, he said, well, I'll give it to you if you just go to Newfoundland and not go to New York City this trip. I said, all right. So I got to Newfoundland, and the day I got to Newfoundland, which I would have been in New York City, was 9/11. And Mom was they were at a conference up in Toronto, I think it was, Rodney Howard Brown, and Mom called me. She said, see, it's about time you listen to your father. So me and my ex got back together for a while, and, you know, we just, you know, it really was a time where I bonded with the kids, and, you know, DJ was in hockey, and, you know, Julia was just my baby girl, and we just spent time together, and we moved back to Ontario a few years later, I went back. I wasn't going to, and eventually I went back into home produce, and then I decided to buy a truck and become an owner-operator, and mostly because I knew if I became an owner-operator, I would make more money, and I would have more money to spend on dope. This is pretty much all it amounted to. And where at the end of it, I was spending at least $300 to $400 a day on drugs. I was staying up for a week at a time. I'd sleep for one day a week. And just steady, go, go, go. And so finally one time I was in a crack house in Leamington, and this guy walks up to me and he said, Dorman, you got to get out of here. You're going to die. I mean, when a crack dealer's telling you got to stop doing drugs, you're in a bad spot. And when I looked down, I could see my shirt was vibrating. My heart was beating so fast. So I got on my bike and I rode to Wheatley, and Mom and Dad heard my bike coming through town, and the bike's pretty loud. It's pretty awesome. And if it's too loud, you're too old. But I'll let that sink in for a second. They met me at in the driveway, and Dad walked out, and I said, Dad, I need help. And you know, I'm skipping a lot of stuff, but I just want to get to where God stepped in. And I said, Dad, I need help. And he said, well, what do you want? What do you want to do? And I said, can we give Pastor Jeff a call? He said, well, it just so happens he's in Essex. I'm like, oh, ugh, that went way faster than I wanted it to. And so I called up here, and I don't know, somebody answered the phone. They said, well, he's pretty busy, but I'll give him your number. And so I don't think it was even 10 minutes later, the phone rang. And he said, what's going on? And I told him what had been going on. And he said, well, I want to see you here tonight. I said, all right. So I come with my dad. Mom was working, I think. And the awesome thing about coming when your dad's a pastor is you get to sit in the second row. So I come in, and I mean, I'm shaking and sweating. I'm coming down. I hadn't slept in, you know, 7-8 days, and I'm sitting on the second row, and Pastor Johnny's there, and Pastor Jeff, and I'll never forget Pastor Johnny walked by, and he'd walk by, and then he'd stop, and then he'd, oh, yeah, and then he'd turn around. I'm like, oh, crap, you know, and am I allowed to say that word in here? All right. I ain't religious. If there's anybody here religious, we'll get you fixed before you leave. So he stops and he puts his hand on my chest and he looks at me and he says, surely DJ will grow up and say my dad is a man of God. I'm a drug addict right now at this point. And so we went through the service and I mean, the worship team was so on key. They're singing, I am a friend of God and I am free to run and free to dance. And I mean, I'm sitting there, and I'm just so bound by addiction. It was just crazy. And I've always looked up to Pastor Jeff, and all of a sudden I look and he's gone, and I'm thinking, oh, he's mad at me. You know, now he's known the truth of it, and now he's got nothing to do with me. And I'm just standing there, I think, and all of a sudden I felt this arm come around me. And we're standing there singing. He's singing at the top of his lungs, I am a friend of God. And when it come time for to do the prayer, they called for people with addictions. And I couldn't get up. This is my spot right here. I keep telling Pastor Jay I'm going to use a black magic marker and put my name on here, but he keeps warning me I'm not allowed. But this is where I came right here. And God delivered me. And there was so many people come around me that night, and I know God delivered me. And then I forget Pastor Johnny was up here, and all of a sudden he started running. So I started running behind him, and I mean, obviously it was God, because if you see me running, you better run. There's something big behind me. And I'm running, and I come around the front, and Pastor Claude was stood right here, and he put his arms around me. He starts yelling, he's back, and I just picked him up and started spinning. And Pastor Claude's feet went straight out, and we almost lifted off the ground. It was kind of fun, but you know, so then I'm thinking, all right, I'm healed. I'm good. So Mom and Dad, you know, decided that they're going to send me to a rehab, Teen Challenge in Midland, Texas. So first they sent me to Indiana. I went to Indiana, stayed with friends of ours down there, and I went from there to Texas, Midland, Odessa, Texas, which is out in the desert. And so I get there, and they had this thing about a dress code. You had to wear jeans, belt, tucked-in shirt, socks, running shoes. It's 105 degrees, and I'm not built for the heat. So I get there, and I'm out there wearing jeans, a T-shirt, belt, shoes, and now they want me to mow the grass. They're in the desert. There shouldn't be grass. But now they're going to find the fattest guy in a rehab and send him out in the heat to do it. So I'm out there, and I'm like, you know, I've had enough of this. These people are crazy. And then every time I turn around, because I was upset because I was there, you know, I'd only been off drugs for about a week. And, you know, so I'm all emotional, freaking out. And every time I turn around, somebody's walking up and putting their hands on me and praying over me. And, I mean, about the fourth day, I'd had about enough prayer. And this guy come up and put his hand. I said, if you put your hands on me, I'll put my hands on you. And you're going to need prayer. Don't touch me. So I went in and I packed my bags and I hitchhiked to the airport. I had my knee all busted up and I'm dragging it through the desert. And And without a horse with no name, I was just by myself. And so I get to the airport and I call Dad. I'm like, you got to get me a plane ticket out of here. He said, no. I said, these people are crazy. I'm not staying. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. So after arguing back and forth, I said, fine, I'll just go to Salvation Army or whatever. So I hitchhiked it back into the city. I was going down to the Salvation Army, and this guy walks up to me. He says, hey, you need some help? I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, he opens his hand. He's got a crack pipe and crack. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It couldn't be this easy if I was looking for it. I said, I don't want that. That's what got me here. So I turned around, and I walked up to the Radisson Hotel. And I had Dad's credit card wrote down in my wallet. So I said, give me the nicest room you got. And I ordered steak and eggs for breakfast. I had dinner first. And then I had steak and eggs for breakfast. And then I called and told Dad where I was. But I made sure I had my breakfast first because I thought I was going to get kicked out. And I didn't want to get kicked out on an empty stomach. So I called Dad. And he said, well, he said he'd been talking to Pastor Jeff. And they figured they'd fly me back to Indiana. And so I'm thinking, well, if I go to Indiana, I know Pastor Johnny takes in, you know, guys and mentors them and stuff. And so I'm going to talk to him because I know if I go to Ontario, Mom's sticking me in a rehab. She already made that clear. And if you know my mom, she don't joke around. So I get to Indiana. I said to Sherry, I said, I want to meet with Pastor Johnny. And she's like, oh, you do? I said, yeah. I said, I believe that's what God wants for me. So I met with Prophet Johnny and proceeded to tell him what I thought God was telling me to tell him. So now I'm going to con the prophet. And he's listening, and we're sitting, and, you know, he brought me in. He gave me this nice lunch, and I'm thinking, man, this is working. And we're sitting there, I'm just throwing my whole sales pitch out, right? You know, I just throw it all out. And he's sitting there the whole time going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And finally, he looks at me, says, you about done? I said, what? He said, are you about done? I said, yeah, I guess it's pretty much all I got. And he says, so you want me to bring you into my home and mentor you? I said, yeah. And he said, you know what? He says, why would you listen to me when you've got a dad like you've got and you don't listen to him? He said, I'll mentor you for 2 minutes. Go home and listen to your dad. And he got up and he walked out. I'm looking at him going, false prophet. So I get back in the car and Sherry looks at me. She's like, how'd it go? I'm like, you know how it went. Pastor Jeff had it all worked out before I even got there. I didn't even know it. So I came home. Mom picked me up at the airport in Detroit and took me to Ryan's Steakhouse. I didn't realize it was the Last Supper. And I was the lamb. And so we get back to Ontario, and I'm thinking, oh, man, finally I get to sleep in. Because when I was in Indiana, I was staying on a farm, and they get up at 5 for some odd godful reason, but they get up at 5 in the morning. And then when I was at Teen Challenge, they get up at 5. And you know what they do? They put you in this quiet room. They play this real quiet worship music. And they say, just read the Bible at 5 in the morning. Kneel down and read the Bible. So I would kneel, and I'd put my head in the Bible. And that's about as spiritual as it got for me. And so I'm thinking, right on, I get to sleep in finally. You know, I'm at Mom and Dad's. And so actually, I got to go back. Before I left Indiana, I was, God was dealing with me. I could hear Sherry, the lady, she was an intercessor. She'd be up all night praying for me, all night. Just hear her just going to war for, you know, breaking everything off me and stuff. And so one night I was tossing and turning. I couldn't sleep. And I said, all right, God, you got my attention. What do you want? And I heard him for the second time. He said, Dorman, I don't want your attention. He said, I want you. Because the whole time I was doing drugs and running, I was running from God. I mean, I would curse and swear, I'm not serving you, I'm not preaching, I'm not doing nothing for you, I don't want nothing to do with. And I was just so full of anger and bitterness, I said, I'm not doing nothing for you, leave me alone. And he would put people in my path, and I had a guy walk up to me. I was in Fultonville, New York. I'll never forget. Guy taps me on the shoulder. And I said, what? I didn't even turn around. He said, you know Jesus loves you? Well, then I spun around, and I hooked him. I hit him right there, knocked him out on the floor. I said, I told you people, leave me alone. And then another time I was in Ohio, and I was getting ready to go out on the interstate, and I seen this elderly couple changing a tire, and he's got a book out reading the instructions. I'm like, this ain't going to end well. So I got out, and I walked up, and they were an African-American couple, and I walked up, and I said, you guys need some help? And she says, oh, thank Jesus. I've been praying somebody would stop. I went, oh, God. So I changed the tire. I'm working on the tire, and she comes over, and she touched me on the shoulder. She says, honey, can I tell you something? I mean, I can't hit a lady, you know what I mean? So I know that's why you sent her, because he was on the other side of the car. And she says, can I tell you something? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to say, but go ahead and say what you got to say. She said, you know Jesus loves you? I said, why can't you people just leave me alone? She looks across the car at her husband. She says, honey, we got a runner. So, you know, I said, give me your phone number, and I gave him my phone number, and so if you have any problems tonight, give me a call. And, you know, I got friends all over the Eastern Seaboard driving truck, and you know, find somebody to help you out or whatever. And so the next morning, being a glutton for punishment that I am, I called to make sure they were okay. The next afternoon, actually, and she said, yes, we made it home for service. She said it was wonderful. And she says, my husband's a senior pastor, you know, Reverend Eulish Booker. And she said, just to let you know, you've got this after the service, we told everybody about you. And you've got 600 black spirit-filled folk praying for you now. I'm like, great, thank you. So after I did get saved, and I think it was right after we got ordained and stuff, I looked him up. And he'd gone home to be with the Lord. I said, I don't know if you remember me. My name is Dorman. And she just went, oh, yeah. I said, I give my heart to the Lord. And I just want to know that my wife and I are ordained. And she just started to weep on the phone. She said, my husband prayed for you every day till he died. She said, you were on his list every day. But you know, God was just, he just wouldn't leave me alone. He just wouldn't let me go. So I get home, and I get to Wheatley, and Mom's calling all over the place trying to find somewhere to stick me, to put me in a rehab somewhere. And I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to go to rehab. I haven't done drugs in like 2 weeks, and I'm cured. And so they brought me to Salvation Army in Windsor, and I get there, and it's a 40-day program. And I get there, I'm like, yeah. And I see all these, you know, they're all street people. And I'm like, Dad, they're all drug addicts here, man. What are you bringing me here for? And I said, Dad, you got to be homeless to go here. He said, Dorman, you are. And your mother said, if I bring you home, I will be too. So he threw me under the bus. And left me there. I mean, I was so upset. I said everything in the world. And so after a couple days, I said, you know what? If I got to be here, I got to be here. I called Dad and, you know, apologized. And I just started diving into the Word. Man, it was just a hunger for the Word came out. I just devoured it. And I was there for 40 days. There was 24 guys on program with me. And by the time the program come to an end, I'd led 17 of them to the Lord. And it was almost like a revival broke out up there. I remember one night, one of the guys was starting to manifest right there in his room, and the counselor said to one of the guys, you got to go get Dorman. I have no idea what's going on. Nobody would even go in there, and this guy's freaking out. And I went in, and we just took care of business, cast the devils out of him, and he got saved, and I went to bed. And so after that, they asked me to come back as a mentor. And you know, all the time I'm there and I'm going through things and God's breaking, you know, mindsets off me and prejudice off me and different things. And I wasn't just prejudiced against some people. I hated everybody. I was just so full. I don't know why I was the way I was, but I gotten so bitter about everything. And so the first person that they have me mentor, I go in and I sit down and I said, I said, all I got is Jesus. So I'm a Christian, born again. All I got is Jesus. And I said, so I just figured I'd, you know, tell you that right off the bat. He said, well, I need to tell you something right off the bat. I said, what's that? He said, well, I'm a homosexual. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm getting ready to get up and leave. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me because I know at some point through this whole process, this guy's going to need a hug and, you know, don't let the earrings fool you. So I get there and the Holy Spirit says, sit down. I sat down and we got talking and I ended up leading him to the Lord. But can you imagine what that would have done to him if after he told me, especially after telling him I was a Christian, if I got up and walked out? No Christian would have ever ministered to him again. He would have closed it off. You know, and I really believe the church as a whole has really missed it with the whole, that whole population, because there's been so much damage done, you know, just putting them aside and ostracizing them and telling them that, you know, that God don't love them because of who they are. But God is no respecter of sin. God, sin is sin. And if you're, anyways, all right, I'm going to stay on task. I had, you know what, I had two triple shot espressos this morning, so I'm trying to stay focused. Squirrel, you know, but I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good so far, but it's still early. So I was there, and you know, I'm mentoring this guy, and then, you know, I remember I got off the elevator one day, and I'm talking to all these guys, and we're saying goodbye, and, you know, I'm hugging these guys, and, you know, they're all leaving and stuff, and all of a sudden, I heard this voice behind me, and it was an East Indian guy, and that accent, and at one point, that accent would just send chills up my spine, and so he says, I've been watching you. I said, yeah. He says, you just love everybody. And I looked at him, and I got on the elevator, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, you should have seen your face. And right then and there, prejudice broke. And so then, you know, God's got a real good sense of humor because he gave me a wife. She's half Portuguese, half German. The kids, their biological dad is black. My brother-in-law married a lady from India, and they've adopted a Chinese baby. There is no room for prejudice. And we've got United Nations right at the dinner table every time we... So, you know, God is just bringing me through all this, and it's just been an amazing journey. And you know, so we do this, and then we start bringing people to Wheatley from the program that, you know, they graduate, and then they could come to Wheatley. And you know, it was almost like a revival broke out at the church. Every Sunday night we'd have, you know, at least one or two van loads of guys coming down, and people are getting saved, people are getting baptized, and it was unbelievable. It was amazing. It went for what, like a year and a half, Dad? A year? And I think there was well over 200 people that got saved, and I think 70 of them got baptized. And, you know, it was just awesome. And excuse me. But God has just been showing who he is through all of this. And then, you know, so then me and Erica get married, and it's just been a bed of roses ever since. And right, honey? Yeah. You know, and so God's taken, you know, both of us on this journey now where, you know, she came from a broken marriage and I came from a broken marriage, and we showed up with our truckloads of baggage together and said, let's do this. And but God has been there through the whole thing. You know, just, you know, listening to Ryan this morning, you know, talking about finances, I was sitting there talking to Erica the other day, and she was out in the garage or something, and she found this purse, and it was full of change. And I brought it into her. And she looked, she's like, oh, that was what I used when I used to go downtown and I needed to pay for parking. I just grabbed a handful of change. And then she looked, she says, Do you realize one time we would have had to accuse this? You know, it's just, God has just blessed us so much. You know, I'm not wealthy by no means, but I don't have to worry about my bills anymore. God has just blessed us so much. And, you know, so there's been so many things that God has shown us. But, you know, it all started with, you know, everybody says, you know, a 12-step program, and which is great. If that's what where God's brought you and that's what God brought you through is a 12-step program, by all means, go for it. But first 12 steps had to be to the cross. That's where the healing is. That's where the healing begins. You know, the Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what we've been through or what we've done. Jesus is there, and he can take it all. But, you know, it's just, it's a matter, the biggest thing that we need to do is surrender. Surrender our will. And I mean, he even talks about that in the 12 steps. We need to surrender our will to a higher power. And, you know, and Jesus says, you know, give it to him. Let him carry it. And that's what I had to do because, you know, let's face it. I mean, I was spending at least $2,000 to $2,500 a week on drugs. I mean, everything was failing. That business that I had at the time failed. I was running dad and mom so far in debt because I'm pulling on their heartstrings and they're paying my bills and just taking down everything that's around me. And there's one thing that any addiction, any sin's got, the end goal is to take you out. Doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's addiction, whether it's, no matter what it is. And it doesn't matter what you're addicted to, whether it's drugs, alcohol, porn, overworking, overeating, whatever it is. The only thing it wants to do is destroy it. But the Bible says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So he had a complete balanced life. His spiritual, his physical, his social. What was the other one? Anyways, he had a complete balanced life. And that's where he wants us to be, to where we're balanced to a place where we can, you know, people can look at us as Christians and say, they got something that I need. They got something that I want. You know, and it's not about being better than anybody because I'm not better than anybody, but I'm favored. I am blessed and I am highly favored. My dad is the King of Kings. Because I know that because I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. And I know that for a fact. That is one absolute truth that you can take to the bank. Because Jesus said, if you call on him, he'll answer. So when I decided to make changes, the first thing I had to do, actually I did it right here, was I gave my life back to God. And then he was able to start turning things, and you know, it's amazing. It's, you know, I look at, you know, my life as I go, and you know, different things, and you know, I know God is along the way, all the way. Even when I'm driving down the road, I know because there's been times a few weeks ago, I'm like, I'm gonna stop here and grab a bite to eat real quick. I was in a hurry, I wanted to go, but I stopped and I just got in the truck stop. I was probably just in there for about 5 minutes, and somebody said, I was running north. Somebody said, man, there was just a bad wreck going northbound about 2 minutes from here. And two truck drivers were killed. Guys ran into each other head on. I'm not saying I would have been in that, but I'm not saying I wouldn't have been. But, you know, every morning I start, you know, I plead the blood over me. I plead the blood over my truck. I plead the blood over my family. And, you know, I believe that God's protection. I ride with guardian angels. Pastor Jeff said one time, he said, when Dorman got saved, about six angels went, oh, thank God. But, you know, it's that assurance that I have in my heart that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know, that Jesus, he died for my sins. He rose from the dead. And the Bible says that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. And, you know, it's so awesome that You know, the Bible it always says that he's sitting, but do you remember the one time that he was standing up? It was when Stephen was being martyred. Can you imagine if we could do something that could get Jesus' attention enough to stand up and say, hey, that's my kid down there. Look what he's doing for me. So everywhere I go, I'm always looking for opportunities. I get a guy that I work with, man, we spend so much time on the phone just talking about the Lord. And I didn't even know he's a Christian. And he's just become a Christian recently. You think I'm rough? But he was telling me one night, you know, he said, I was driving up the road, and he said, all of a sudden, my truck started going off the road. He'd been running hard. He said, all of a sudden, I seen this hand stop my truck. And he said, I woke up, and I was like, what's going on? And he got out, and he looked around, and he was right on the edge of this big cliff. So he got in, and he had his daughter was sleeping in the truck. And he got driving. He said when he looked in the mirror, there's this truck coming up behind him and had a big cross lit up on the top. And this guy's giving the salvation message over the radio. And he said, is there anybody that would like to give their heart to the Lord tonight? And he says, I didn't even hesitate. He said, I grabbed the mic. He said, yeah, I'd like to do that. So this guy led him to the sinner's prayer over the CB, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And he's like, and I'm like, really? You know, and we're talking on the phone, and he's like, yeah, I'm like, that's amazing. He's like, what did I do? He's like, I don't even know what I did. He said, I just felt really good after. And so I got to, you know, time to explain to him and things, and, you know, it's been awesome, you know, just, I've been praying for him and different things, but just seeing God work in his life and different things, you know, it's been awesome, you know, just to see what God is doing, you know, and it's just, so if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, can everybody just close their eyes for a minute? Let's just spend some time with the Father. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, you've never experienced that moment where you know. The Bible says that when you receive Jesus in your heart, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The God actually said that God writes his name, your name on his hand. You're forever in his hand. So if you're here this morning and you would like to experience Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've never done it, or if you've done it and you've either walked away or it's grown cold and you know, even King David said, renew unto me the joy of my salvation. So if you're here this morning and you want to do that, please just lift your hand. Without anybody, just keep your eyes closed. Just lift your hands. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to just accept Jesus in your heart. I believe there's a couple more. We'll just wait for a few minutes. Just lift your hand up so I can see it. So this morning, we're just going to... I'm just going to pray this prayer, and we can all say it together. Just say, Father, forgive me my sins. I believe that Jesus died and he rose from the dead. And I just ask you to forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and make me your son or daughter. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that this morning, the Bible says that there's a party going on right now in heaven. So this morning we have 5 people put up their hands. So church, let's party like it's 1999. you prayed that prayer. I want, after we're just going to, you can come up front. We can pray with you. You don't have to do it right now. We want to give you a Bible. We want to just pray with you. But you just made the most important decision of your life. And I'm not going to tell you that it's all going to be a bed of roses. That's Bon Jovi. But it's, I'm not going to tell you that's going to be a cakewalk. But you know what? There's somebody that I walk with you. And his name is Jesus. And you've got a whole lot of people that are just a phone call away that'll pray with you. So this morning, I'm going to ask the intercessors this morning that these people that gave their hearts to the Lord this morning, that you would just this week, just really just lift them up. And so let's just pray real quick. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, Father, we seal the words that have been spoken this morning. Father, we thank you for the hearts that have been turned towards you. And Father, we thank you for your Son and what he did for us on the cross. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.